This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to another episode of the No Ceilings Podcast. I am Tyler Metcalf, joined as always by Tyler Rucker. Rucker, how's it going?
Folks, it's doing great. You know, I'm not going to lie to everyone out there. Your boy is in Boston. That's why, for everyone watching on YouTube, you know, the background's a little different. I'm in a hotel. I'm in Boston. I'm here for the NBA Finals, folks. So life is perfect. Life is incredible. Now I get to talk to Metcalf while all of this is going on. Like, you know, I'm just on the rise. No Ceilings is on the rise. Basketball is on the rise. Life is on the rise. Metcalf, how are you doing? Try to compete with that intro.
No, I'm great, but I want to hear more about Boston. How was game three? How was the atmosphere? How was your obviously non-biased attending? How did it all go? Describe the night.
So, you know, yeah, for everyone listening, you know, No Ceilings is my number one, and the whole team is my number one. But my side hustle, my other job that pays the bills, asked me last week if I wanted to go to Boston to cover game three and game four, which, you know, I've never really said there's ever a stupid question ever, but that was a stupid question because it was the easiest yes of my life. So I took a red eye. What was it? Gosh, this last week's been a blur. Took a red eye Tuesday night from Phoenix. Got in at 5 a.m. I can't sleep on planes, so no sleep at all. Got here, walked the whole city, went to the Garden, was just like looking at the building. It was just, it's been crazy. The place is buzzing. This arena last night was so loud. I mean, for everyone that listens on TV and you think it's loud there, when you're in the building, I swear it's five times louder. It was just rocking. So game is incredible. The fans have been ridiculously just passionate, and I'm excited for game four. It's going to be crazy. But I was most excited to get all this set up and talk more draft with my boy Tyler Metcalf. We're pumped up, folks.
So as the game went on, Celtics kind of had a healthy lead for most of it. Yeah. Besides that 7-point play, which got things a little interesting. How were you feeling? Were you worried at all? Were you kind of freaking out? Were you able to remain unbiased in your professional spot?
Well, it's just crazy because, you know, I was born and raised California, born and raised, like, the number one rule of my house was you had to root for the Celtics. You can root any other team in any other sport, but you're a Celtics fan. So I've been getting Larry Bird stories since I was a young kid, but my first job in the NBA was with the Warriors. So it was like kind of like poetic. Like, how could basketball not be poetic with those two teams? When Steph started heating up, I was like, oh my gosh, I've watched this movie way too many times in person, like being at the game. So it was a heck of a matchup. I'm excited to see what happens game four. I think that game is going to be Friday night with Boston, you know, folks getting off of work with the weekend. It is going to be rowdy. So yeah, I was nervous a little bit, but you know, we've said this before with No Ceilings, with everything that's gone on and how we're trying to cover the NBA, you also got to lose your biases sometimes as a fan. And I'm still really, I think the Warriors are going to have a real strong answer game four. We'll see what's going on with Steph. I think he's going to be all right, but getting to be around these players, the final setting, the media, it's been awesome. But enough, Metcalf. No one wants to hear about this. We want to talk draft rankings. Like, people are like, hey, we get it. We're not in the playoffs. Let's talk about the lottery. Let's talk about the draft. 2 weeks, Metcalf.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
Yep. We're almost there. We're on the home stretch. And, we wanted to get a little creative, have a little fun today. And one of my biggest pet peeves with all of the draft rankings and everyone's big boards and, you know, their fandom and whatnot on social media is, oh, this guy's going to be special. Oh, he's a top 10 talent. Oh, he's a lottery talent. And then if you actually tracked all of that, everyone would have about 50 people in their lottery, and there are only 14 spots. You know, I'm sure I'm guilty of it too at times. I try not to be, but the exaggeration and the hyperbolic nature that we refer to so many of these guys is like, okay, we can't put everyone in the top 14. We can't, not everyone's a lottery guy, and that's okay. You know, there's talent throughout the draft, but just because a guy may not be a lottery guy, it's not necessarily a slight. It's the same thing with all NBA stuff or all-star voting. It's like, oh, how did this guy not make the all-star team? Okay, well, who are you taking off? There are only so many spots. You can't just put more and more people in. So this is the debut, let's say, of the Green Room. And fans may be listening and be like, yeah, the Green Room, the place that everyone gets drafted to on draft night. Yes, that's the publicly known Green Room. This one's a little more exclusive. This one is capped at 14 people. There, no more, no less. It's 14. We're going to go through, craft our own Green Room. If you're listening and you're like, Metcalf, this sounds really familiar. This concept sounds really familiar. You're damn right it does, because I'm stealing it from Nick Wright, who stole it from Omin El Hassan and Zach Harper. So,
Copycat League, folks.
Copycat League.
And Copycat Pods. Here we go.
But theirs is boring. Theirs is MVP, superstar, club, or bar, or whatever it is. This is draft. This is important stuff. This is the exclusive of the exclusive. So we're starting with the lottery, the debut of this iconic club, the Green Room. We'll be doing this in the future too. But I think the first three entrants to this exclusive club, it's got to be Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith, Paolo Banchero. They've been the three consensus guys at the top from start to finish. Rucker, do you have any objections?
No, I mean, for everyone listening, Metcalf hit us with this idea, and I was like, this has the potential to be really fun down the road. Especially like this, we're going to have fun with this episode, but like each year we're going to even make this a bigger deal, spread it, hype it up. It's going to be hilarious. And so I'm excited. We'll probably get some funny illustrations either this year or next year, kind of mocking it. But, you know, yeah, Nick Wright had the superstar treatment. We're like, no, let's do the Green Room. Let's do something about the NBA draft. No, those three are exactly, you know, they're going to be in for sure. I have to have a little side vent. It feels just natural now that, like, I've been at the finals for the last 72 hours. All I've wanted to do is talk about the draft, and everyone wants to talk about this damn series. And I'm like, hey, it's exciting, but can we talk about, like, what do we think Orlando's going to do? Like, I need my draft fix. Like, I'm itching. Come on. So, this feels right. Okay. Yeah. Chet, Jabari, Paolo, top three. I mean, yeah. Let's not milk it too much. They've been the top three all year. We're all expecting that, in some order, they're going to be the first three selections. Jaden Ivey, we've said, could be the guy that surprises and crashes the party, like we've been calling it all year. But I'm still expecting it's going to be 1, 2, 3 with those guys. So, yeah, we'll bring them in the Green Room. We'll give them a little VIP table if they want.
Yeah, and these guys have been there all night. They're posted up in their own private booths in the back. They're running the show of this club right
yes.
now. And they have all season long. So, their stamina is, it's really impressive the rate they're going at. Before we move on real quick, I'd be remiss because Jonathan Givony did just recently share out 11 invites have gone out for, you know, the actual draft night Green Room. And those names are Chet, Jabari, Paolo, Ivy, Keegan, Shaden, AJ, Dyson, Mathurin, Johnny Davis, and Jalen Duren. He said, probably like five more going out in the next week. I would imagine that number ends up getting closer to 20. So obviously theirs is a little easier to get into. Ours is a little more exclusive, but first three spots are taken up. The next three that I kind of want to jump to are the stars of the Big Ten this year, Johnny Davis, Jaden Ivey, Keegan Murray. Any objections?
No, I think those three might be one of my most exciting, you know, trios in this segment, because going into the draft, I'm the most fascinated to see where they end up. Like when it comes to their spot, where their next team's going to be. Because they, you know, Ivy, we still think he's got the tools to be a superstar. We've got your prodigal son with Johnny Davis. We've got my shining hero with Keegan Murray. And I really do think, you know, here's a hot take for you. Is there a chance that trio could have more successful careers than the other trio? Yeah. So you guys thought I got distracted with the NBA finals and I'm just reloading smoke.
So this is what happens when you get like 4 hours of sleep in 2 days.
I'm not kidding. I think I've got 5 hours in the last 2 days. There's a Starbucks right across the street from my hotel and it's way too easy to get to. It's been a ride. I feel bad. Like I'm going to get home. My fiance is going to see me. I'm going to probably sleep for like a day. And then, you know, Nathan reminded me I have to get on Draft Deeper Sunday. So actually I can't do that. We're just going to keep rolling with the anarchy. But what do you think, Metcalf? I mean,
I don't think it's absurd.
Yeah.
And when I say that, I want to frame it more as team success instead of individual success, if that makes sense.
Yes.
I think the individual accolades with all-star games, MVPs, all NBA, all defense, whatever, are more likely with Paolo, Chet, Jabari. But, you know, with these guys that fall a couple spots, maybe their situation's a little better. Maybe there's already, you know, a young star or two in place that they get to grow with and really develop and take that team to a next level. So it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, yes, obviously wins are a team stat or whatever, but like when we look at playoff success or, you know, conference titles or any of that, it wouldn't shock me if Ivy, Keegan, and Johnny end up in the situation where they're playing for more of that stuff, but don't necessarily have those same individual accolades.
Right now, off the top of your head, you can pick any team in the top 10. You can't reuse them twice. No, we could say reuse them if you want. I'll let you pick. For those three, what's your favorite fit right now?
For Ivy is Detroit. I've actually come around to really liking him in Sacramento too.
I'm in the same boat as you. Why are we always? I swear we don't copy each other's notes. I'm buying into the Sacramento fit pretty quick.
Yeah,
and it's not because it's BPA. It's because I'm just seeing it. Like you should do it.
Yeah, I think Ivy's a much better off-ball scorer than people are wanting to admit for some reason. I really like Keegan in Portland.
Interesting. That's a good one.
Johnny in San Antonio or New Orleans.
I like Johnny both those spots. Keegan, I like in Detroit a lot. That's my hot take. Ivy, I think I'm buying into Sacramento. I think I'm buying it. I think I'm into it. Because I don't think they're going to stick with I think they're going to move Fox eventually. But if they don't, they could play Ivy and then maybe still bring Davion. I don't know. But I still think they got to take the best guy. And I could see Ivy being the face. I think he could be the superstar. I don't know.
Yeah, so I like Ivy even with Fox at this point.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I think
I think that transition offense would be electric. And then just the way that Ivy cuts and runs off screens to then turn those into kind of on-ball scoring opportunities. And I like him more as an off-ball shooter than an on-ball shooter. So I don't understand this obsession with everyone saying, oh, well, he's got to be a point guard. He's got to have the ball to be effective. It's like, no, he doesn't. He didn't have the ball all year at Purdue, and he's pretty damn effective. So long run, do I want him getting on-ball reps and stuff? Yeah, sure. But with Sacramento, it's like, okay, he can play that two guard. He can play off of Fox, play off of Sabonis, play with Davion. And then when Fox goes to the bench, now Ivy's getting those point guard reps. And now he's running the second unit and getting that experience and not just being tossed in the deep end with a cinder block strapped to his ankle.
It's pretty annoying because people are going to take my next statement the wrong way.
Ooh, I'm excited.
I think you can have all three of those guys.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a really nice weapon. And everyone's like going to be like, well, you just took Davion to be a backup. And it's like, well, no, you're going to have to rotate with whatever game flow and your coach is going to have options. And, you know, if you need to, if the other point guard's killing you, you're going to throw Davion out there and stuff like that. So, like, I'm buying into the idea, too, of Fox and Ivy and just being like, guess what? We're going to try it. And if it doesn't work, then we will move on. But talk about explosive. Yeah, those two in transition. Oh, my goodness. Just Sabonis is going to get a rebound, just throw it up the court and be like, go run it down or hand off and run. I don't know. I'm buying into the idea, too, because I just keep buying into Ivy off the ball. I think there's more there. I think him running off of screens like you're talking about, like he is an asshole to deal with defensively. Yeah. Like, you know, we're watching Curry and how just – I'm not saying he could shoot like Curry. Like, come on, I'm not drunk. I'm saying just like the movement, and he could just exhaust guys running them off screens, running all away from the ball. Like, so I'm buying it. I'm into it. But I don't want to rant too long. But, yeah. I like Sacramento there. Okay.
All right. We got six of the 14 spots filled.
Okay.
I'm just going down my big board here. So next three are AJ Griffin, Shaedon Sharpe, Dyson Daniels. Any objections?
Shaedon Sharpe's underage. You can't come. I'm kidding. They're all underage.
That always matters.
They're all under. Yeah. Yeah. Trust me. I've witnessed first person. That does not matter, especially with the NBA guys. But that's another episode. So you said Mathurin, Griffin, Sharp?
Griffin, Sharp, Daniels.
Oh, Griffin, Sharp, Daniels.
Or do you want to put or move any of those names to currently waiting in line?
No. Sharp's the only one. Sharp's the only one I'm on the fence with, but he's coming. He's going to be we'll keep Sharp in the green room, but he might be having to get drinks for everyone for a while because he hasn't played a game of college basketball or, you know, he's been on the bench for a while, but he's the guy in the booth that's just chilling, just vibing. Yeah. He's waiting for his song, but he's a fun person to be around, but he's just waiting for the right song to get the night going. So,
and by all accounts, he's a little shy. He's a little more introverted, so he's not going to be out the life of the party on the dance floor, and that's okay.
He's just waiting for someone to play some Ludacris. Like, he's like, okay, I get all these new rappers, but can we get the throwbacks rolling out? Like, can we get the Usher? Yeah. Can we get some Little John? Someone's going to hear this and be like, what song is that? And I'm going to be like, literally throw your computer out of the window, please. I'm sorry that I hurt you. But no, those are all fine. We're 2 weeks away from the draft. Sharp's becoming my most fascinating puzzle right now because I don't know where he's going to go. I think everyone's quickly cooling off the top five idea that we had about a month ago. Not us. I'm saying everyone as a collective had that idea. And now I'm like, we're coming back to reality, aren't we, folks? Because we did a mock and we got weird and said he fell to 11. Do I think that's going to happen? No.
No.
But you never know. Yeah, I mean, he could fall to 8. He could fall to 9.
Yeah, so I want to stay on Sharp for a little bit.
Yeah.
So he's one of these guys that's just kind of fallen down a couple spots for me. He's at 8 right now. But if he went 5 to Detroit, I wouldn't be shocked. Why do you think he's falling? Obviously, there have been these anonymous executives coming out and just ripping the kid for not playing or either at Kentucky or at the combine and just doing these draft workouts. I get why he did it. You know, when you look at a guy like Hamidou Diallo, a few years ago, who came back midseason for Kentucky, he dropped out of the first round because of that. And, you know, obviously he was hurt and things came into play, but he hurt himself by playing. And if Sharp's getting like, oh yeah, this guy's a top 10 lock, he could even go top 5. Why would you play? So I get it from his standpoint. Why do you think that he's falling? And, you know, when we say falling, we mean like from 5 to 7 or something.
Yeah,
like
right.
Not anything drastic, but what in your mind, why do you think he's falling?
Yeah, it's just like he's trending down, and I think it's not falling, but it's like we were thinking he could go 4 at one point, like 2 months ago we were like, he could go 4th, and now we're like, yeah, he's probably maybe realistically going 6, 7, 8. I think it's just because he's the unknown. He's the guy that everyone, you better be pretty confident in your whole staff, not just the front office. You need to be confident in your coaching staff. You need to be confident in your evaluation, your scouting department. You need to be confident in your developmental staff. You need to be like, everyone's got to be on board. Everyone's got to be patient. Everyone's got to have a plan, because this is going to take a while with Sharp, because it's just the, you know, we rag the guys that go play in the G League. They at least had a year of playing against NBA type of competition. Sharp's just been sitting. Like, can you imagine? If I didn't pick up a basketball for 2 years and then try to go play 5-on-5 with some of my good basketball friends, I would look horrendous. And I suck anyways, but I would look really, really bad that day. So it's just, he hasn't played. Everyone's banking on high school tape, where it's not, the high school tape was nice, Metcalf, but it wasn't like, oh my gosh, I'm watching John Wall in high school. Right. Like, it was just, there was flashes. So guys are going to keep watching and nitpicking. And this is also the time of the year where we've talked about this before. These are, front officers are going to work now. This is where you get the intel. This is where you find out stuff. And they're getting intel before they even interviewed him. And if he doesn't wow that and they still don't feel great about it, they're going to go with someone that doesn't have the higher upside, but might be safer, might be, you know, better for the team, better for the culture. But I was going to ask you something. Are we overthinking, Sharp? Or do you think it's because we're getting to a point now where we have had time to watch everyone thoroughly and evaluate, and now we're getting realistic of like, hey, yeah, he's got the upside to be a top five player in this draft, but he's also got the downside to be a complete swing and miss. So I think when you get to that conversation, it doesn't surprise me when these guys slide. And I'm talking about the raw, not a lot of experience, superstar upside with question marks. It does not surprise me when they go a little bit later, because teams have to, you got to have the balls. And not a lot of teams are going to have the balls when you're picking top five to be like, hey, we're taking the biggest swing we can. And everyone listening might be like, that's what you're supposed to do. And it's like, no, when you're picking the top five, you want to make sure you don't pick again there next year. You want to get out of that. You want to get a guy that is helping your team. Like, you want to hit. So then all of a sudden it's like, okay, we're back. And Presti, with all those picks in OKC, like, that's a different story, because they're just – they're taking the guys with the raw upside. That's why we've connected also. Like, maybe Presti could try to go up from 12 if Sharp's slipping or something like that. Now I'm on a rant. I'm sorry, Metcalf. This is, but this is an interesting debate that me and you haven't talked about.
Yes. Yeah, so I think the thing with him is that his kind of evaluation timeline just got shifted back like 4 months from everyone else in college, where in January, you know, most of us are all just watching these guys for the good. Like, what is getting us excited about all these guys? And the first few months of college basketball is typically that.
Right.
And then we start digging into the nuances of their games, where they struggle. Like, you know, why is their on-ball defensive footwork slacking? Why didn't he make that pass? Little stuff like that. And that's when we start bumping guys down. Sharp, I don't think we started doing that until January or February, when he was like, oh, he's eligible for the draft. It's like, oh, okay, now let's all rush to the highlights. And the highlights are fucking incredible. Like, the highlights are so impressive. And that's when he's like, oh, could this be the best player in the draft? Like, look at how good of a score and how vertically athletic this guy is. And now we're in the phase with him where everyone is digging into the nuances of his game. They're seeing how bad the defense is. They're seeing that he doesn't have that same first step that, you know, we think of with a guy with that vertical. So I'm a little worried about the lack of that first step, especially the fact that he's at, you know, 6'5 and not 6'7. I think that kind of start, stop, lull you to sleep and then go type of scoring game is more effective when you are 6'7 and not 6'5. And then the defense just needs to be completely overhauled. It's brutal right now. So I think he's really good. I think he's still really raw, and there's just a lot to kind of carve out and improve.
It's just funny, because if he gets past the top five, like if he gets past Detroit, then I'm going to be every team. I'm going to be like, okay, would they do it? And like Indiana would make some sense because I'm not trying to like down talk Pacers fans or anything like that. I'm just trying to say like, you got to think about this stuff. Like Indiana, smaller market. You're not usually signing the biggest superstars in the NBA mm-hmm. in free agency to come to Indiana. And I'm not trying to insult Pacers fans listening, but I'm saying you also could think like, hey, we could get one in the draft that has that upside to maybe be a guy that stays here a long, long time in his career. And that might be enticing. I'm just playing devil's advocate right now. So I could see Indiana being in love with him or intrigued by him. And but I could also see them being like, hey, we need a safer pick that's going to help this team continue to grow together because we got some nice pieces. Portland, I still think they're going to go towards more of like a safer, if there's even a guarantee. There's never is, but it's just fascinating. And then when if he's on the board with New Orleans at some point, I don't know if they could pass that up because then you're just like, if we hit on this and Zion's healthy, my goodness, this team. So a lot of questions, but I went on a rant too far. I didn't mean to make this the Shade and Sharp episode.
No, you're good. I think those are important questions and things to bring up because
yeah.
his evaluation timeline has just been completely different than everyone else's. So I think where we were at with a lot of guys in February is kind of where a lot of people are now with Sharp. And that's where the questions start coming up. And you know, they're important questions to ask and to address. But I would be shocked if he doesn't stay in the top 10. But okay, so we got 9 spots filled. Chet, Jabari, Paolo, Johnny, Jaden, Keegan, AJ, Shaden, and Dyson. And folks, these are in no particular order. This isn't our rankings of 1 to 14 or anything like that. It's just the 14 brilliant individuals who get access to this exclusive green room. All right, so we got 4 spots or 5 spots left, excuse me. How do you want me to just give you a batch of 10 names and we'll start picking guys off of that?
I think that might be the most chaotic and also might lead to us fighting. So that probably should be. Yeah, let's do that. Because you already didn't mention one. And I'm like, I'm going to have to fight Metcalf for this guy, aren't I? Like, OK, so everyone listening, Metcalf brought this idea up and we were like, it's going to be pretty easy to get to like 9. And then me and you are probably going to get a little ugly and it's all going to be love. But we're going to be like, hey, we got to get down to 5 more. Like, what is it? And who deserves to be in here? So this could be fun. We could get really angry, and this could be hilarious. You know, no matter what, I still love Metcalf. But it's funny because I'm getting down to, like, 17 on my big board, and I'm like, oh, boy, I'm going to have to make an argument for some people right now if Metcalf's not on the same boat. But, yeah, if you want to do that, because I think the one-by-one we might miss someone. If we at least rattle off, like, 10 names, then I could be like, okay, let's get this. So hit me with it. What are you thinking?
All right. So Malachi Branham, Jalen Duren, Mark Williams, Usman Jang, Benedict Mathurin, Ochai Agbaji, Jeremy Sohan, Jaden Hardy, Jalen Williams, EJ Liddell, Tari Eason.
That's good for me if it's good for you.
I'm also going to throw Max Christie in there just so you can shoot it down right away.
Oh, if you're going to start battling with me for Christie in the green room, this podcast is going to be rated R.
Nope, I'm not battling for, just not necessarily battling against, let's say. Okay, so first name off, Christie, it looks like.
Yeah, I love him, but I don't know if he's in the green room.
Agreed. All right, where are you leaning? What is your thought process?
I think Mathurin's in for me pretty easily. I had him 7 on my board. I love him. I still think he could be going as high as 5. I could see him going 6. Like, he's going to be the name I'm going to be fascinated too because I could see him going high. I could see him going 9th or 10th. I don't know if he's going to San Antonio. I could see him going 8th. I could see him going 11th. Like, he's going to be big range too. But I think he's going to be a guy in this class that has a really nice career. I think he's going to be a really nice piece of the NBA. I like his talent. I like his upside. And we're saying this all before we find out what team they play for. So things could change. But that episode will be very fun when we have to be our honest opinions of like, oh boy, who went to the wrong place. So yeah, I would be. I'll be battling pretty hard for Mathurin in the green room.
Okay. Yeah, I want to talk about Mathurin quick.
Gosh, you're gonna fight me right away. Okay.
No, I'm good with him there.
Okay.
I'm lower on him than you are.
Yes, that's why
I got into a healthy argument the other day on Twitter when I shared out that anonymous exec saying that Johnny Davis is who he is, but Mathurin has so much more room for improvement. What do you see Mathurin being at the next level, and what would that room for improvement be?
Oh boy, what do I see him being? I mean, I hate doing pro comparisons, but I'm trying to think of like vibes now.
This type of player, it doesn't have to be, oh, he's going to be this player, but like what kind of role?
I think he could be a really good like number two option, where it's like Mathurin can get hot and then you're feeding him in the game. He's running off screens. You're running actions for him to get some outside shots. I think he's just a little nasty. Like I think Mathurin's the guy you need to win playoff series. Like I think he's just a grinder. He's physical. He can play up to the moment in the game. He can also bring that nastiness. If a series turned physical, he's not going to shy away. He's got that athleticism to get out and run. You know, the biggest, I think, development with his game this year was he went from Sean Miller's offense at Arizona to Tommy Lloyd, which is more like pro up-tempo, just push the crap out of the ball. And he just looked like a completely different animal because it was just perfect for his game. He's like, get out and run. I got transition ability to hit pull-up threes or trailing threes, or I can get wide and throw down monster slams. So I think that with the playmaking flashes that we saw like at USC when he had that game where he was just throwing some like, whoa, okay, this is in his bag potentially. And I still think he needs to get coached defensively because when he's locked in, when he's locked in, it's there.
Yeah,
but he ain't always locked in. So I just like him a lot. I really do think we're talking about 14 guys. He's no questions asked. He's one of my guys.
Yeah, but, so he's in my top 14 too. So I don't want to get that twisted.
Yeah.
I think
puzzled with Johnny compared to him.
It's just the way that phrase was that he's got so much more room for improvement, and I think all these guys have so much more room for improvement. They're freaking 19 years old.
Exactly.
But
thank you.
Where I see Mathurin's room for improvement is as an on-ball creator. And I think that's a way harder skill and ability to implement and to be really effective at that. Maybe I guess maybe I'm just interpreting how that was said incorrectly, because I think that's a lot less likely for him to do than say for Johnny to become more consistent as like a spot up shooter. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I've been driving the Mathurin hype train all year. I would take Johnny and it's not even close. So
yeah,
that's how I feel about that comment. And those articles are really cool because they give fans and everything like an inside look at what someone's opinion is in the industry. But it's like, you know, some fucking weird people out there. There's some crazy people in the league, in the industry. And like you read some of those and you don't have to. Don't read, like, I'm not saying those people don't know what they're talking about. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying just because one guy says it doesn't mean everyone in the league is thinking that. Do I think Mathurin has some good upside? Heck yeah. Do I think Johnny Davis has some really good upside? Yes, I do. Like, I still think Johnny is going to show some people something. Like, I just think he's getting overlooked right now. So, yeah, I never take those too crazy. But it's interesting to see. I pay more attention to when it's like the breadcrumbs that some people leave, like that part of the article there, and it was by David Aldridge at The Athletic. I mean, not just at The Athletic, David Aldridge. I shouldn't have to explain who he is, but he even leaked, like at one point, one of the coaches he leaked or interviewed was like talking about Iverson Molinar having like a shoulder injury. And I was like, that is stuff that you need to be paying attention, highlighting in the articles. Cause that's little tidbits of breadcrumbs that you're like, okay, well, then you connect that to why Iverson might have had a down year shooting the ball as a three-point shooter and why he's struggling there if he has a shoulder injury. Boom. But I'm never going to read one of those and be like, oh, my gosh, the guy thinks Mathurin's better. I have to have him higher. I've watched too much damn film. So calm down, Mecca. And it wasn't an argument. You were just like, hey, no, what's going on here?
It turned into more of like a player debate, which wasn't my intention. It was more so like the likelihood of those improvements happening. And I think Mathurin's going to be a damn good player in the NBA. So I think he's going to be a really good starter. I think he's going to be an awesome off-ball scorer. I don't think his three-point percentage was as indicative of his shooting ability because he took some really tough shots, really, you know, versatile movement, off-screen, standstill, all of it. He took it all. I love the athleticism. I get that. I just think that room for improvement that he has is a lot more difficult than some of these other guys. And the changes that we saw from his freshman year to sophomore year, yes, I know he ran a lot more pick and roll and stuff like that. He didn't create out of isolation at all. The pick and roll efficiency was so-so. So I love him as an off-ball scorer. I just personally don't see that on-ball upside. And I think that's where I break with a lot of people on him.
Yeah, I know I danced around your question, but I agree with you. I would rather – this will probably get clipped up and shown in 3 years, but hey, that's why we're here. That's why we do it, folks. I would rather have a prospect that needs to get better at outside shooting and has an advanced weaponry and on-ball creation than the other way. Like, a guy that can't create his own, but he can shoot the crap out of the ball, he's going to run into some problems. A guy that can work and use his craft to get open, get his shot. And if, like, Johnny's lethal mid-range, but Johnny can also get to his shot really in a number of different ways with his counters, his handles, his hesitations, his shoulder fakes, his pump fakes, like getting to a spot on the court, and then he can launch his body in so many different directions. Like, he's just remarkable how impressive he is. And I think that's where everyone keeps going back to, like, well, his three-point shot. And it's like, oh my gosh, guys, come on. See something else, like get away from the one thing. But they're both going to be good. They're both going to be good players. Yes. They're different upsides. So
yeah, I hope people don't interpret this little 6-minute segment as like a player debate or anything like that. Just more of like a philosophical, like how do you view their improvement areas and the likelihood of those happening? And you know, I think Shaedon Sharpe, for example, still needs to really improve as an on-ball creator, but what he's shown and the foundation he has, I think that's a little more likely than someone else. And you know, if it would have been Tari Eason being quoted as he is who he is, I would have posed the same question. So it wasn't just because it was Johnny. I know my fandom for him may come in question, but it was really just the wording of that and just kind of the likelihood of how hard some of these skills are to develop.
Yeah, and even I still have Johnny higher Mathurin. And the last thing I'll say, and I know you do, and it's like I still think Johnny should be a very early pick. If he's not, I get it, because it comes down to fit with those two guys. Like if you're debating those two guys and they're on the board, say at like 6, and all those teams from 6 to 8 want one of those two, the answers could be different for each team because it comes down to what do they need. They're going to evaluate their whole roster. So that's what, like, we can have them higher, but it wouldn't shock me if the other one goes in front of the other. Let's get away from this before we go too further down this.
We got 4 more spots.
We only did one guy in like 10 minutes. This is going to be horrifying. Okay.
Yes. So we got 4 more spots. Is there anywhere your heart is pulling you?
No, you go. I did one, so you go. Now okay. This is where we can go.
I think Jeremy Sochan should be a lock. Which is weird because technically on my big board, I don't have him in the lottery.
And I have him at 14. I don't know if he's a lock.
Okay. Okay, I'll put his name in yellow.
No. Hold on. Yeah. Let's come back to that. Because I have some... I feel like he's going to be one of the guys waiting to come. No, he's going to be in, but no, we could stay with this. Okay. Let's talk this out.
It doesn't matter how these guys get picked. This is our exclusive club of, you know, how talented we think they are. It's not a mock draft or anything like that.
Let's do it this way. Are you writing these down?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So we'll put them in and then at the end, we'll see who's waiting in line, and maybe we can, you know, we'll throw someone out. But Sohan's in the top 14. Yeah, what am I doing here? No, he is, because if he clicks, he's such a weapon.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at my board. I have him 14th. But yeah, all right,
okay,
I'll do
so
it.
I'll put him in. I'll highlight his name.
But the bouncers are watching him. He's had he's had a couple. He's getting a little crazy on the dance floor. Everyone doesn't really know how to handle it, and he's got a lot of eyes.
Yeah,
the hawk's in the eyes, you know. So,
okay. So still disguise. Waiting in line is Malachi Branham, Jalen Duren, Mark Williams, Usman Jang, Ochai Agbaji, Jaden Hardy, Jalen Williams, EJ Liddell, Tari Eason.
Duren. I think Jalen Duren's in.
Okay.
Although he really has a good fake ID to get in. Like, that is a really good one.
Yeah, it's like who brought their dad?
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's the guy that he's so just looks like a freak of nature that everyone's like, he's not 18. He's 25. And they're also like, what am I going to do? Try to throw out the guy that's 6'10", 250, that's just going to pick up all the bouncers at once. Yeah, so he's in. Being serious, Duran's a top 14 guy. Like, people were giving us crap because we put a mock draft out where he fell. And it's just like, guys, we're just playing, you know, devil's advocate.
We're trying to do something a little different, you know, having the exact same thing every single time. It's like, okay, cool.
We'll
give this a quick scroll, and now we're bored. And we get bored doing the same thing every time. So it's like, hey, every year there's chaos, even though mock drafts end up looking a lot alike. You know, we keep doing the same things in a lot of picks too, but it kind of goes back to that Spurs conundrum that we talked about a few weeks ago. It's like, something different is going to happen here than what we've been doing for 4 months. So what are those possibilities? And let's start thinking about them.
Players slip through the cracks. There's probably no chance that there's no trades in the lottery also. So, I mean, like, we're doing all these mock drafts. We're going to do them for months, and there might be 4 trades in the lottery, and that will completely shift who goes where. But I think Duren's going to be a green room guy. I think he belongs in there.
So just real quick on Duren, what is his worst case scenario, barring injury or anything awful, or, you know, whatever? Like, he actually has a career, but worst case scenario and then best case scenario.
Worst case, not worst case. His best case scenario is he turns into, like, we had a fan, and we can save the segment later, who's like saying, like, who are centers in this draft that would remind you of Robert Williams? They asked us on social media, like, can you talk about it on the pod? And we can go in more depth, like, later. Just talking, I think he was saying, like, explosiveness, the defensive ability. I think that's probably one of the best scenarios for Duren, is like a Robert Williams impact, maybe more. Obviously, you're saying probably more like offensive numbers, you're putting up bigger numbers and stuff. But like, if Duren can turn into that two-way just defensive monster, and anytime he's got an offensive rebound, like, everyone hold on for your life because he's just got that so much power. I think that's his best case scenario, where he just turns into, like, the dude is a monster around the basket, and he is just an anchor defensively. Like, he can guard multiple positions at a high level and stuff, but he's going to have a long way to go, because he's going to have to deal with some clever bigs in this league. He's going to have to figure out all the tricks and stuff like that, and some crafty guards. And I still think he's got really special upside, but like, the rest of the game is going to come around too, because everyone thinks Robert Williams is like, just the defensive shot block. Robert Williams can pass the ball.
He's such a good passer.
Oh my gosh. Like, I will go to battle with anyone if they're,
and
like,
he's doing that at A&M too.
Yeah. I'm like, Robert Williams has playmaking ability. Like, he throws some passes sometimes. I'm like, my goodness, man. Like, you see some stuff. And it's just the way he plays the game. So I'm not trying to get too off track, but like, Duren just needs to slowly come. He's like a ball of clay that he just needs to slowly keep forming his game to be something. But like, yeah, a starting center, a potential all defensive guy, a lethal shot blocking guy, like someone you're not worried about keeping him on the floor with a 3-point game in the fourth quarter of a playoff series. Like, he just needs to become someone that it's like, we need Jalen Duren on the court all the time. What do you think, Metcalf? Do you see that? Is he going to be like an all-star guy? I think he could.
I think best case scenario is kind of like, these are two very different players to kind of morph together, but like a mix of like Robert Williams and Yusuf Nurkic, where.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Maybe his shot isn't, obviously doesn't get to the point of like Karl Anthony Towns, but, you know, occasionally if no one ever steps out to him, he can knock down a three at the top of the arc. And then he has the passing ability of Robert Williams, the strength of Nurkic, and just like that overall defensive impact. I'm not sure he's quite as twitchy or fluid and light on his feet as Robert Williams is. I think he's got really good springs and, you know, second jump ability at the rim. It's more so how he just kind of moves on the perimeter, but he's still so young. I don't want to rule anything out. It'll be fascinating where he lands, but all right, we got two more spots and two more, 13 and 14.
Wait, really? Hit me with the list one more time. I thought,
So we got Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith, Paolo Banchero, Johnny Davis, Jaden Ivey, Keegan Murray, AJ Griffin, Shaedon Sharpe, Dyson Daniels, Benedict Mathurin, Jeremy Sochan, Jalen Duren. Jeremy's still.
We got three. Oh, we only have two
sitting at the bar waiting spots for his drink. Yeah. So
Jeremy's
14 are left. Okay. So he's in.
Jeremy's in, correct? Wait. Yeah, he's been in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
He's in, but he's being watched. All right. So nine names. There were eight. I am adding a ninth. So we got Malachi Branham, Mark Williams, Usman Jang, Ochai Agbaji, Jaden Hardy, Jalen Williams, EJ Liddell, Tari Eason, and Blake Wesley. Okay, so we're down to eight names.
Hey, Blake Wesley had a fake. He couldn't get in. They took it. They put it above the bar, taped it up. You know, he's going to another place.
All right.
But I will tell you right now, I've been watching some more Blake Wesley. I like the defense a lot.
Yeah.
I'm warming up a little bit. I'm not top 10 Blake Wesley buzz, but if he goes in the top 20, I would understand.
I think we need to start scratching some names off here. And it pains me to do it, but I think first one to go with is EJ Liddell. I love EJ. I think he's
it's really going tough to be
a really good player. But when we're talking about the cream of the crop, the elite of the elite, the, you know, gaining access to the most prestigious club in the draft world, I'm just not sure he's there.
I can't have him in. And I love EJ. I love him. I've said it on multiple episodes. I could see him going in the lottery. I don't think he's not in the green room, though.
Yep.
He's not in our green room. But he is. He might be getting an invite.
He's at the corner pub having drinks, playing darts, playing pool, having a good time. And you know, you go over there with your buddies. You're having a blast with him.
EJ is at the bar that I would be at in this situation. Yes. Like everyone would be at the club, and I'd be like, the bar EJ's at is way more fun. They've got good music, and it's not crowded, and the drinks are, you know, $2 beers instead of $14 exactly. Waters.
It's value.
Yeah, value. There you go. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Who's next? In or out? Where are you leaning?
Are we eliminating guys to finish Atari's out for me.
Go however you want. That's fine with me. Okay. I like Tari. I think he's going to be really good. He's not in this group, though.
For everyone that keeps asking a question on social media of why is Tari Eason slipping lately, think harder. It ain't just the film, folks. This is the time of the year where stuff behind the scenes is going on. I think Spins had hidden about it. I think I saw something on the internet, on Twitter, like, Spins, we love you if you're ever listening. He was talking about, like, you know, Tari hasn't interviewed well. Like, people are a little worried about the basketball IQ. And that's big stuff this time of the year. And that's why a guy could slip 2 weeks before the draft. That's why someone's stock could be going the wrong way. And I still think he's going to be a top 25 pick, but he might go 21 instead of some people thinking like 13. And it's because it's just teams are interviewing. Teams are trying to get a feel for guys. So I like Tari a lot, though. I've just always been the guy that we say it every episode, folks. We're rooting for every single guy. We're just trying to get them to go to the best places. I still think if Tari goes late teens, early 20s, I'm going to be pumped for that pick. Minnesota, yes, I will be pumped for that pick. But if he went somewhere like the top 10, I'd be like, oh, man, they're going to put the world on his shoulders right away. So, but more importantly, he can't come into the green room. He can't come in. Who are you getting rid of? I like it this way.
I got to go Jalen Williams.
Yeah, I wanted to. I was gonna piss you off later in God of War.
He's fun. We love him. He's just not here.
It's tough because I really want him in there, but he's at the bar with me and EJ, so we're good. Me, EJ, and Tari are having a blast at the other bar.
Exactly. So, all right. So we got five names left, two spots. This is where it gets. So Malachi Branham, Mark Williams, Usman Jang, Ojai Agbaji, Jaden Hardy.
I'm not gonna do it. I'll spoil some pride. I'll keep Hardy out if you want to do it.
He was the easiest out for me.
Yeah, I want this to get difficult. So I'm not gonna bring up a fight just to bring up a fight. Right. I understand Hardy's at the other club. Hardy is at the other club. Yeah,
and just for clarification, I have Hardy at 17, so he's in that range where it's like, okay, if he does go late lottery, I get it. Like I love the improvement he's shown. We've talked a ton about Hardy and how we've, you know, we're not overrating the struggles that he had as much as other people are.
Hardy might be like fourth in line to come into the green room, but he's like having more fun talking with people outside of club that he's like, do I just want to just chill here and kind of pick the vibe? So that, yeah, there he's out. It's okay. I'll sleep well tonight. All right, what about Ochai? What are we doing here?
I love Ochai so much.
I love him too, but this is tough. I'll tell you something that will piss you off and piss everybody else off, because I love to do this. I think there's a world where Ochai belongs in over Jang. And I'm not saying I think that Jang's going to be, or that Ochai is going to be a way better player than Jang. I'm just saying for the green room purposes, I could see Ochai having a case to be above Jang. Because Jang is upside, folks. We're all drunk on this idea of Usman becoming a superstar, and he was brutal to watch the first half of the year. It was not pretty.
I think his rookie year is going to be a disaster.
I think it's going to be really ugly, and people are going to think he's a bust, and it's not going to be fair to the kid at all. Yep. Because if you watch what he just went through, he didn't look draftable in the first half of the season.
He wasn't playable in the NBL.
No.
For 4 months.
At all.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he just looked awesome. So it wouldn't shock me if he goes later on the draft than ever. Because we also get pumped up and hyped up on these guys, on this progression of each of these prospects. So then we start thinking like, oh, they're on fire. They're playing good. They have all these tools. They're getting this hype. They could go top 15. And it happens sometimes where NBA teams are like, no, we watched the first half of the year. We still think this guy is the 25th best prospect on our board. You know, I don't know. So all I'm getting at is I think Ochai is ahead of the line if he's not in.
I'm good putting Ochai in, because I think the prestige, the
if Ochai's getting in, this is going to get ugly. If Ochai's getting in, this is going to get ugly.
I'm putting Ochai in yellow. He's waiting at coat check.
Okay. He just paid the cover.
Yeah. He's in the lobby. He's waiting at coat check, and he could still be turned around. So
okay.
All right.
Okay.
So that means one spot for Malachi Branham, Mark Williams, Usman Jang.
I can't put Jang in over those other two. So
neither can I, because even though the most recent stuff is important and should be weighted a little heavier, the whole season still matters.
Yes, I'm in on that.
The whole season still matters.
Okay.
Cool. Usman, apologies.
All right, here we go.
Malachi Branham, Mark Williams. One spot.
I know where I'm going. I think I know where you're going. We can't do this with our heart. We got to do this with our head.
Yeah.
Okay. I think Mark should be in.
Agreed.
Why shouldn't... Well, okay, so then do we... Okay, all right. So Mark's in. Because none of the bouncers can throw him out because he's too tall.
And he can just reach over the bar, grab his own drinks. Super efficient. He's a gentleman, so he leaves a healthy tip after he's done.
Yes, Mark is the least... I'm not worried about Mark at the club at all.
Nope.
I'm not worried about Mark at the green room because he's just going to, you know, he's going to be there. He's going to be a great person. He's not going to be... We don't have to... He's no maintenance. He belongs there. He belongs there. Exactly.
He ordered a round for his table. The waitress forgot, came back, asked if they needed anything. He just politely reminded, like, oh, yeah, no, can I get that round I ordered? And she's like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And
he's like, don't worry about it. It's great. Exactly. Thank you for your service. I appreciate it.
I know you're swamped. I know you're busy. Just when you get a chance, we'd love it. I'll be here doing my thing. And, I adore Mark Williams. So why not Malachi?
Well, I will say, for serious purposes of Mark Williams, I just think if we're making a top 14 of like guys that should be into the green room, I think you got to have efficiency. Like, I think you got to be like, you got better or you were consistent on both sides of the ball. You put up good numbers. Like, at some point of the year, you had to bring... Because, like, we have Jalen Duren in there. We have Shaedon Sharpe, but Shaedon Sharpe's got superstar upside. Mm-hmm. Like, Duren has superstar upside. He's still young. We didn't even talk about Dyson Daniels, but Dyson Daniels got better all year. He grinds on both sides of the ball. He's also Australian, so we got to have an Aussie in there. Mark Williams has just been beasting. And I think...
He was dominant this year. I know people don't want to admit it for some reason, but he was dominant this year.
He was more dominant than his numbers will tell.
Yeah.
So he's in. My problem is I'm coming down to the line between two guys that I absolutely love. And either Malachi Branham's going to be at the door waiting to come in, or the bouncer's going to grab Ochai by his neck collar and throw him back out for Malachi. I think Branham's out.
Agreed.
Wow.
And I have Branham higher than the other two on my board, but for the sake of this exercise, for this prestigious club of the elite, what Ochai did last year was incredible. The development throughout his entire career has been incredible. And he's a national champion. I think he's one of the best leaders and in this entire draft. I think he's going to be a really good pro, and people who have him at the end of the first or even in the second round, I don't understand it at all.
I have Branham higher.
Yep. If I was drafting and it came down to those two, I would probably take Branham just based on my board, but I would consider Ochai in the lottery.
I just think Ochai... He's done too much. Yep. He's also just, I love him. I think he belongs in there.
Agreed.
Okay. I'm going to throw a wrinkle to the green room.
Okay.
I just thought of it on the spot, and we're going to make this, I'll let you, cause since you thought of this idea, we'll end it with this. Since you thought of this idea for the green room, I'm really excited. I'm going to ask your approval to add one more rule, one more segment.
Okay.
Two guys that are crashing the green room. They got in. We don't know how, but they crashed it. They got around the bouncers. They snuck in somehow. Someone let them in. Now we can either make them anywhere, or we can say they have to be, we think they're second round guys. You want to just do anywhere? Ooh. Just do anywhere? I'm trying to get a little crazy.
Yeah.
Like a wedding crasher, but they're crashing the green room. So they could either, we could either have guys in line that look like we're debating, like they should be involved, where it's like Branham, Jiang, Jalen Williams, EJ. But we could also have like some outside the box guys we think like, I don't know.
So who did you have in mind for your
my curveball? Probably like either Dalen Terry or Patrick Baldwin Jr.
So Dalen Terry was going to be mine.
Okay. So then I'll do Patrick Baldwin.
Okay.
This is perfect. This is the Patrick Baldwin, literally the perfect part for what I'm trying to make up on the fly is like a guy that should have been in the green room, had a nightmare year. And now he's like, no, I belong in here. Yeah, here we go. See, we're workshopping this where it's like a not a loose cannon, but just a guy that's like, hey, maybe I was supposed to be in here. I'm still going to prove myself. And we also could just not do this. You know, we could just, this is a great idea, but we'll just no. But I don't know. But like also Max Christie could have been in this conversation.
So I think PBJ was in the preseason, was in the club in the preseason, and had a little too much fun, fell asleep in one of the upstairs booths, and security missed him as they were clearing the place out. And when they reopened, he was just still there, and he's just hanging out.
This is like way too descriptive of a story. Did this happen to you? No. Okay, I was just checking. I was like, we need to talk about this off air because this sounds hilarious.
No, I was fine on Wednesday.
I walked out when they were still closed. I don't know. I mean, I just think like Hardy, Patrick Baldwin Jr. could have been guys in this. I don't know. But this was a fun one. I liked doing this episode. This is a good debate. I feel good about my Ochai. I thought we were going to battle a little bit more for some guys, but I think this is a good list. This is a good list.
I thought you were going to put up a bigger fight for Hardy.
I just understand. No, I just understand it. I'm going to write a piece about him. I'm actually pretty pumped about that one, but I just get it. I still think that's another guy like we talked about with Tari Eason. Like the later he goes, the better it's going to be for his career. And I could see Hardy going later and becoming a star because he went later and it pissed him off for his entire career. And he's like, I'm never going to, I could just see that. That's all it takes with some of these guys. So other than that, I love the list.
Yeah.
You want to give it one more time? Hit it.
Yes.
Hit it.
So just to recap, our 14 spots, these are the exclusive invites to the green room. On draft night, there will be about 20 guys in the green room. And then after, these 14 are going to the elite club, the private show with their entourage. That's Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith, Paolo Banchero, Johnny Davis, Jaden Ivey, Keegan Murray, AJ Griffin, Shaedon Sharpe, Dyson Daniels, Benedict Mathurin, Jeremy Sochan, Jalen Duren, Ochai Agbaji, and Mark Williams. And that's a group of 14 that is not ordered 1 to 14. This is just the group of the elite of this class based on a bunch of faulty, inconsistent methods that we inconsistently weighted.
Yeah, I think that I think I like this. This is a good segment, though. This is fun because this is going to get better every year because we'll think of some funny debates or like side gimmicks and stuff like that. But I like this. This was a fun little wrinkle, little change up. Yeah, that's good, Metcalf. All right. Metcalf, give it to me before we sign off. Give me your honest opinion. What do you think happens tomorrow night at the game?
I'm going to say Warriors win.
Okay.
I don't know. Draymond was awful in game 3. He needs to show up. But, you know, he did kind of does similar thing in games 1 and 2. If you could start boxing out Robert Williams, that'd probably be helpful. I know that's easier said than done. And then someone else needs to figure out how to score for Golden State. Steph Curry has been otherworldly. He's been incredible. But no one else on that team can hit a shot, whether it's Clay, whether it's Jordan Poole. I don't get why, like, if I were the Warriors, and obviously I'm not, and I'm way less qualified or intelligent, but all season or all playoffs, everyone's harped on the Celtics' inability to dribble, and yet Gary Payton II still just isn't picking guys up full court. So I would love just like the little wrinkle of him hounding Tatum or Brown when they bring the ball up and just getting in their face and getting just trying to cause chaos and force them to generate turnovers, because when the Celtics have gotten in trouble, it's been because of turnovers.
It's been two of the best teams in the entire playoffs at adjustments after a loss.
Yes.
They bounce back. And I do really think like both Udoka and I think Kerr are great when it comes to game by game adjustments. And this is what the playoffs are. But I think those two, especially, like, they do a great job of getting their team fired up after a tough loss. I think the star is going to be important. I think Draymond, I'm never going to count out Draymond. He's going to be ready to rock.
Yeah.
And everyone pumping him up. He's just fascinating because he needs to have like 10, 8, and 11 to be. He just needs to be. It's like, the game two, and I don't want to rant too long about this. Like, game two, he took it up mentally and physically. Like, he had Boston just all wires twisted. I don't think he can go back to that, because him being in Boston and with how they reacted in game three, they were ready. They're ready. They were like, hey, Draymond, it ain't going to work again. Like, you could talk some crap and try to overpower us. We're ready to rock.
Yeah.
And Boston, the fans are going to be ballistic and stuff like that. So it's going to be fascinating. The interesting part is, you know, Klay had a big game last game and they still lost by double digits. So it's going to be a bar fight again. I really do think, but it's going to be fascinating. Like, the game adjustments, like, I'd like to see a little bit more Gary Payton. I understand he's young, but I thought Kuminga would be kind of a perfect little wild card for this series.
The athletic disparity between the two teams
is
glaring. So just a little bit of spot minutes for like Moody and Kuminga, I think, could just be a fun wrench thrown in. I'm sure they'll come out with something, because they have for the last 8 years in a row or however long it's been.
Gonna be fun. I could see the Warriors winning. I could see Boston sending a message, and I could see both sides right now. It's gonna be fascinating to see what happens though. But that place will be rocking, and I'll probably lose my hearing and be talking way louder next week. So
can't wait.
Yeah.
Well, Rucker, plug away. Tell the people where they can find you.
I'm at Tyler_Rucker on Twitter. I'm at NoCeilingsNBA.com. I'm going to be jumping back in with a lot of articles coming up. I've been done with doing all this YouTube nonsense. It's been awesome. But, you know, now that I'm done with video editing, I'm going to be writing. I'm going to be jumping back on that. So be checking out the site next week for some more content. Some of my pieces. I'm pretty excited. I'm going to just get it all out. We get all the stuff out, Metcalf. And the draft is in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks, when you probably hear this tomorrow while you're driving your car. It's awesome. Less than 2 weeks, we got some special announcements coming up. We're getting pretty pumped for that. This whole cycle has been amazing. Metcalf, thank you for doing this with me. I look forward to it every week. It doesn't even feel like it's a job or work. It just feels fun. So I appreciate it, and I love you all, and go Celtics, of course.
Well, once again, I am Tyler Metcalf. You can follow me on Twitter at TMetcalf11. You can find our draft guide and all of our merchandise at NoCeilingsNBA.BigCartel.com. And you can find all of our written work at NoCeilingsNBA.com. It's free. Just hit that subscribe button while you're there to make sure that all of our stuff gets delivered directly to your inbox once we publish it. You can follow us on Twitter at NoCeilingsNBA. Where Rucker will be sharing out a whole bunch of graphics with stack comparisons and rankings over the next 2 weeks. And make sure to follow us over there to keep your eyes out for our draft live stream news. We will be live streaming. We will have more details coming in the near future.
Very, very big news coming, I promise. Don't miss out on that one, folks.
It's going to be fun. And you can follow us on YouTube at No Ceilings TV. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and a 5-star rating. Until next time, see ya.